ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ವರ್ಸ್ 33 ಶ್ರೇಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮ ವಿಗುಣಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮ ಪರಧರ್ಮಾನ್ ಸುನಿಷ್ಠಿತಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹ ಶ್ರೇಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೋ ವಿಗುಣಾನ್ ಪರಧರ್ಮಾನ್ ಸುನಿಷ್ಠಿತಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಬೆಟರ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಚಾರ್ಜ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಈವನ್ ದೋ ದೇ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಫಾಲ್ಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ then others another's duties destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties for to follow another's path is dangerous so you can see Krishna says there that the following changing one's dharma or shrayan sudharmo viguna paradharmat sunushtidal ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹ ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ದಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಧರ್ಮಂ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೋ ಗುಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೇ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಐಸ್ ಈವನ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮ್ ಫಾಲ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಧರ್ಮಂ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಬೆಟರ್ ವೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ವೆಶನ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ದಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಧರ್ಮಂ ಈಸ್ there is some defect or fault in one's dharma. Krishna says it is still better because compared to paradharma, somebody else's dharma, it is frightening. It says bhayavaha. It's frightening. And this is a topic which requires a lot of explanations. Why Krishna said that? Not to do another's dharma. What one is than sodharma. What does sodharma mean? Sodharma means according to one's swabhavam, according to one's vasana. That is his swadharma. One's vasana, one should know one's own vasanas. What's my vasana, what's your vasana, one should know oneself. And according to that is swadharma. The purpose of swadharma is self-realization. Purpose of swadharma is self-realization. That in reality, the purpose of Atmavijaram it's called. Atmavijaram means reflection on the soul. And reflection on the soul is with this goal of realizing the self at the end. That's the purpose of reflecting on the soul. Whole process in Bhagavad Gita and in the Upanishads and all is to analyze everything in depth, very deeply analyze the thing. And from a very subtle level to understand what the truth is and to chase that truth, follow after the truth. So that is called Atmavijaram. Atmavijaram means constantly reflecting on the existence of the soul and getting it right in our own thoughts, understanding that that's the only thing that exists. Only the soul exists. Nothing else exists in this world. So in due process, we will realize the existence of the soul and in that way come out of the non-self, which is mind, body, senses, intelligence, ego, everything else. So whatever karma has come in life to us, we all do different things, isn't it? That will become our swadharma. That is what has come through destiny to us. If you accept it that way, it becomes your swadharma. But when that sadharma is executed without due attachment to it and expectation of results from there and without any sangam. Sangam means nisangatva, without any attachment, with devotion to Krishna, if it is executed, that sadharma is auspicious for everybody. That this is what Krishna has given to me, I'll do that. And in that consciousness, if it's done, and keeping Krishna as the center and surrendering to Krishna as the main goal, if it is done in that way, that Swadharma will become auspicious to everybody. What it does is, it will not force us to fall into sense enjoyment. Because karma keeps us busy with something, isn't it? Karma keeps us occupied with something. So by doing, executing that karma according to one's vasana, and Swadharma is performed in that way, it will protect us from falling into sense gratification. Falling into sense gratification. Even if we fall into sense gratification, we will be protected from that. We'll be protected from that. Others' dharma, if we engage in that, even if you find that it is very good, if we fall into it means, if you get fascinated by that, that means some fascination develops inside that I'll make a lot of money if I do that work or the other activities, or I'll enjoy senses better. I'll have much more sense gratification from that. And this is what the cause of accepting Paradharma. Paradharma, why people switch from one dharma to another? Either due to attraction for more money or due to attraction for better enjoyment in this world. Isn't it? You can see that. I mean, in this world, how people go for certain professions or certain kind of work, isn't it? They see that there's a lot of money to be made if you work in the city. And then that means they'll say, I'll only work up to 40 and then I'll retire. All kinds of things people say like that, isn't it? After that, I don't want to work. That's the excuse they'll make for working in the city or things like that. And similarly, other professions also like that. So the reason is this, that either they feel that they'll get a lot of money or they feel that they have a lot of position in the society. These are the kind of things that prompts or encourages people to move away from dharma. Both of these things are the friends of false ego. This idea that I'll make a lot of money and I'll have some position in the world, these are all false ego. It's coming from the false ego. It has not come by parampara. It has not come through parampara. Parampara means in the varnashrama system, you can see how they structured it was that the family tradition they followed, isn't it? A family who did a particular type of business, the children took over and they ran the business, and their children took over, they ran the business. They will not switch over from that to another profession. Like that. Nowadays it has become like that, isn't it? Nobody stick to anything. They find where there is money, where there is position, they go after that. There's nothing else they look forward to. So, this understanding that those who have done research in karma, they found out that by following that system of tradition, of parampara system, of following the father to son business like that, it doesn't create tension in the life. It does not create tension in the life. Whereas when you switch from one profession to another profession, which you are not being groomed in that way, the reason why we got birth in a family like that is because we had the vasanas like that. Therefore, the birth itself was based on that you had to accept a birth in a family in that situation. But you are now working, going against your own vasanas, thinking because false ego is dictated from inside that I'm making more money in that, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. So many different ideas comes from there, and we switch from our traditional way we are meant to live. And if you live in the family tradition, the possibility of developing that tension is not there. You feel more relaxed about it. So, so you can see in all these professions, this happens, isn't it? So this is the thing that if the profession is such that father has already established a business or way of doing life, the son follows that, makes it a lot easier for him. He doesn't have that tension in him, isn't it? He doesn't have to learn everything fresh. Lot of things in a natural way he learns from the father or learns from the family traditions, It comes to him in a natural way. Because it comes in a natural way, he doesn't feel stressed on that. He doesn't feel stressed about it. Whereas in the modern world, you can see that you have to go and completely learn a new thing altogether. Isn't it? Any profession is like that now. You have to learn the whole thing new. Why? Because this desire for power, desire for money, these two things are strongly motivating people to go and do various kinds of professions. Why we are saying all these things is that this competition mentality which has come in the modern world is not a good thing. It's one of the most dangerous things. It's as harmful because it's the false ego that is dictating this competition from inside, competitive nature. But when we have pumped this into children's mind from the early age in life, they, before the little bud had become a flower, it gets dried up. The flower gets dried up. Before the child gets grown up and becomes, it enjoys a life and becomes in a proper way, it becomes matured, it becomes dried up before that. Why? Because of all the stress that the child has to carry in life and of making a living and all that self-confidence what the child had in life, we smash it and break it into pieces before it can develop into a proper personality. So this whole psychological impact on the child is so strong because of all this competition business that creates in the child's heart. And child, before it can, the child is supposed to grow up, he is supposed to learn from this world certain things. And before you can inject some spiritual understanding and thoughts into the child's mind, the whole society, family members, everybody puts pressure on the child to such an extent about the job and the profession, what he has to do. In that process, the only thing the child can do is wherever the maximum pressure is coming, he'll go in that direction. So naturally, any thoughts in relationship with self-realization, knowledge of the self and spiritual life, all that gets thrown away from the child's life. This is the damage we are doing in that way. Whereas traditionally, you can see how the cultures get destroyed. Traditionally, when they grew up in that culture, without going to school, without going to college, without teaching religion, they had acquired a lot of good things from home, good things from the society, when this stress did not exist. With the coming of this stress for finding a living in this world, all other things, because you can only take so much, a child can only accept so much in its life, isn't it? So when this stress started building up like this, all other big things left them. They did not get the opportunity. So that in order that this tradition of father to son, that business tradition, to continue in that way, if it has to happen like that, there is one thing which is very important there, samadarshito. Samadarshito means equal vision. Equal vision of what? Equal vision means that one person in one profession should not think that other profession is better than his or his profession is superior than the other. So to see that all professions are equally important is something very basis of this. Otherwise we will create this. This is what has happened in the society, isn't it? We started saying some professions are superior, some professions are inferior. And you can see that issues like this, what happens now, for example, that the dishonest people, for whom money is the only criteria in life, they will exploit the situation, isn't it? They will exploit the situation. And you can see that very clearly on this expense scam and all that, how things happen. If you leave that to people, they will exploit. But therefore, Varnashrama system was structured in such a way that you carry the profession, what how your parents have done that. They followed a certain pattern, you follow the same thing. And all your necessities are met in that way. You don't have to feel, give topmost importance of paying the bills as the whole thing in life. So we can see this competition that brings the how much damaging it is to the whole human psyche. It brings makes so stressful the life, this competition, and it makes a person's life very miserable also. So this equal importance to all of the professions, that was the principle of Varnashrama Dharma. And in order that you don't fall away from that, they mentioned it, that it makes it a lot easier that if a family follows a tradition in a particular way, So that is how different communities existed in the Vedic times. That they were not crossing over from one to another. There was no need for that, because all were respected in their profession. If you live like that, there is a lot more peace inside. It's much more peaceful inside. Whereas you smashed all the barriers in between and made everyone like a competitive animal, and he has to continuously compete each other, what will happen? Your childhood is affected because of all the stress you have put on the child. Youth is affected because this growing greed inside and the growing desire for possession, you become victimized by that. And thirdly, all your rest of the life, family life, everything is affected. There is no peace there either. So you can see how much damage it has done to us, this modern philosophy of competition and the result that's coming from that. So, talking about that normally if you follow that tradition, the way it was done in the past, say for example, a particular businessman, his son will never think, I have to do some other profession. He would not think like that. He will think, this is what my father has done, I'll follow the same road. This thought even will not develop inside, that I would like to do something else. Because the society has put this law very strongly that you have come into that family, you do the same thing. It's already given like that, decided. So he doesn't have to think twice, what should I do in my life? Then go to job center looking for this job, that job. All these kind of things is completely avoided with that. But, and if all the professions are treated in the equal level, they are given the equal importance, in other words, and respected, and at the same time, the income from that profession also is not different from one another. This is also another important thing. It's only now some professions have been given so much money and some professions don't get paid enough, and then there is always misunderstanding, isn't it, about it. Why should they get paid more? What are they doing? Because it's like in this bankers' crisis, you can see what happened. People are asking this question. What is that they are doing for which they should be paid so much money? And at the end, they mess it up everything, they said. And then the government does no any answer. And we have to, again, these taxpayers have to go and protect them. All these kind of issues have come up. Why? First of all, why they should be paid so much? Because the jobs, what anybody does, everyone's time is important, everyone's life is important. So differences in the wages also is not justified. Everyone has to be given something to live in this world. And that's the way one has to look at the profession. But the whole thing has gone away from the society. This is all the absence of Varnashrama Dharmam creates these things. And competition, if the competition goes away, and if you do it in the parampara system, and I say parampara system means a father to son, like a family business, if it is done, the competition will go away. And at the other side, that his sincerity in his karmam will also be good. Because there will not be any competition, he will not feel any tension from the top. And nowadays you can see that when the children leave the GCSE or 10th standard, that he does not know anything because he doesn't know about the world, isn't it? So naturally, everybody outside, people tell him, what are you going to do? People ask this question to the children. He doesn't know anything about what does the child knows when he leaves the 10th standard, GCSE. Then people keep on asking, all relatives comes and says, what do you want to do? What's your future? The child has nothing to answer. He will give some answer and he'll go without knowing anything, because he doesn't know anything what to answer to this question. So altogether, The whole society creates tension in the child's mind, and then the fear inside. Oh, I have to do this. And the whole energy goes in that direction. That this is the age, when one becomes mature internally. One has to become matured internally. But that age, when he has to become maturity, and he has to attain maturity, that we have frightened the child to such an extent and smashed all the confidence the child had in himself, in himself or herself. And then that child will never understand what is love. What is ardrada? Ardrada means how the mind, good emotions, good feelings inside, karunya, mercy to others. Everything, these things cannot grow in the child's heart when this happens to them. That it is in that age they learn from this world so many things, that a certain kind of simplicity inside and certain good qualities like love for other living entities. Ardrada. Ardrada means how the heart melts, compassion for others and mercy to others. All these qualities comes to that person in that particular time in life. That means after they, when they come to the final years of the school, in the teenagers' life. This is the qualities that should come to that child in the teenager's life. At that time itself, because of this competition what we have pumped into the child's mind, and all the confidence is completely smashed by anything, these qualities will never get into the child's heart. With the result, what happens then? That all the energy has gone in that direction, and the energy what he had has converted in the form of fear, in the form of fear inside. So, immediately the child starts feeling, I'm not secure in this world. Insecurity comes into the child's heart. He feels insecurity all the time. And because there is insecurity, then it is finished. If at the age of 15 or 16, the child is feeling insecure in this world, that we have converted that human body into an animal's body by all these things what we have done. We have converted that human body into an animal's body because animal's nature is to be fearful all the time. So just like if you give some food to a dog and the other dogs will come and the dogs will start fighting for the food each other, isn't it? The child has become like that by now. By 15, 16 years old, the child has come to that state. So, because we have taught him how to be competitive, isn't it, in this world, and destroyed all the confidence inside, and all the good qualities what the child should have has not entered inside. At that, in every age in life, there are certain things we have to take from this world. Boyhood, Krishna says there, isn't it? Balastaval krida sakta. When you are a child, you have to play. That's the child's age. And they're meant for that. And it goes like that. Vriddhastaval chinda sakta. At the old age, you are supposed to still sit and think about everything. And pare brahmani kovina sakta. One has no attachment to the truth at any stage. So, the thing is this, that due to the way we live in this world, through this thing called competition, and also the understanding that everything has to be that everything has to be based on this principle that we are the controllers. So naturally, you can see how we have created an environment which has gone totally against the proper growth of the human society. So competition. So. Swadharma, we were talking about it. That Swadharma, we have found, rishis, the sages have found out this thing called Swadharma. That one executes Swadharma. That is the easiest to process as far as the rishis. Rishis means the sages are concerned. Then how did this become impure in the way it is today? Because of this feeling that some job is better and some job is lower. That, and if one starts thinking that this is better and that is higher and this is lower, that everyone will desire for the bigger one. It's natural. If you start telling somebody that this profession is the only profession, best profession in the world, and if not, if you think that father to son, Shishya Parampara, in that Parampara, if it comes like that, then if we bring that Parampara somehow, then this competition and this Matsaryam means this Matsarya Buddhi, this competition mentality will go away. Not only that, material body, important thing is karma pradhanam. It is karma that has to happen through this body. Body has been given to us and material nature executes the karma through this body. From the Vedanta point of view, it has an important factor because if you want to forget about this body, you should not spend too much time about the karma that is coming through this body. This is an important thing. In Vedic philosophy, if you want to forget about this body, you should not be spending a lot of time on the karma that is executed through this body and should not have any tension about it, about this karma. And only then you can forget this body. You can understand this. Suppose you have accepted some karma where you have to spend a lot of time and energy on that and the body is absorbed in that. Naturally, the next thing what you will do is to give too much attention to the body because you are conscious that without body being in a top position, you cannot execute the karma, what is coming through that. This is how many people, because of the stress in the office, they go to the gym. Isn't it? You can see why. All these are unnecessary in life. There is no, in this process, what's happening? There is no time for spiritual life. Spiritual development doesn't happen. So, Krishna is saying to us a lot of things in these words. That is why the danger involved in all these things, how it is destroying ourselves by following the modern process. So, I know we can't do anything about it. That's the way the world is. That's the way the world is going on. But just see that how thoughtful the sages were when they created a system of Arnashrama Dharma. That you live in this world without tension. You grow up in this world in such a way that the good qualities let them enter into inside. So that bhakti, knowledge, devotion, everything develops in a heart. But if at the early age itself, if the child is put this pressure and fear inside and he becomes so frightened that all the energy goes in that direction. Everyone has a limited energy only. And if all that energy goes in that direction, then what will happen? That's the question. That the material body, if you want to forget this body, that's what we are trying to do, isn't it? To forget this body. We want to go away from the body. And if you want to forget this body and go away from this, then we should not spend a lot of time on the karma that has to come through this body. We should not have the time for that and the tension that it creates. Only then. If you have to think about this body too much means even to some extent, then our attention from the soul will get distributed. It will go. Attention from the soul will go. So that is what the problem is. We are thinking that how much we have destroyed ourselves with our modern way of life. This is the important point to remember. That a child who, by the time 15, 16 years old, we have made the child to think about the body so much, to think about the body much. And all the energy flow through in that direction, then how do we expect that child to have any thoughts about the soul, knowledge of the soul, about and any peace in the world, in this world? And how can there be any peace in the child's mind? So, whereas on the other hand, if it was coming through the parampara system, parampara, in that way, if it had come, in the child's case, that question does not arise. He doesn't have an anxiety what he has to do tomorrow after his education, what he has to do tomorrow. We have created an education system also in the same way, isn't it? The whole education system is also created in the same way. So, 3/4 of the problem is solved when you don't have to worry about the body. When you don't have to worry about the body. And you can see, when you analyze these things from a deeper level, you can see the sages kept priority for self-realization. That is the most important thing. And organize the rest of the things in life in such a way that it supports that purpose for which we have to live in this world. So, and that is why Varnashrama Dharmam had helped of developing spiritual culture. Varnashrama Dharmam has helped in developing spiritual culture. So that's why Prabhupada also, you will see here, he was saying to devotees that every time devotees were coming with the new ideas, that let's start this business, we can make money for preaching. Prabhupada says, who wants this money for? What do you want this money for? He was telling them, go away from the city, go away from this modern way of life, develop farm communities, live simple, so that attention from the body goes away. That was the idea behind it. Unfortunately, none of the farm communities survived. Most of them went through difficulties. And now what we are doing is, we are using this as a way to collect money. The interesting thing here is that it's a very serious thing, because the idea is to we call it as self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency means that you live in such a way that you don't have to depend on others. That is self-sufficiency. Look at what's happening. You all supply us money, we will run the show for you. You can come and give us money, so we will live on that. And we call this a self-sufficiency. What self-sufficiency is this? How do you justify all these things? And we say we are doing the best self-sufficient farms and community, and no self-sufficiency is there. The whole purpose is defeated. Purpose was that we don't have to struggle too hard in life. First thing. That was the goal behind it. The self-sufficiency. And this can only happen, Prabhupada also saying that, if you live in a Krishna-conscious way. But it didn't happen. Why? Because, when I see many of the projects in this world happening in our society, it is shocking. Somebody is coming and collecting money here and money in America and goes and opens some self-sufficiency farm somewhere else. This is not self-sufficiency. This is completely gone away from the very principle of spiritual life. So that what's happening is, some people are wandering around all over the country and collecting money for running one self-sufficiency farm somewhere, and a lot of people are building all the time. Construction is going on when you go there. And eventually, when they're saying that, oh, we have built this farm, the guru is there and everybody is there, and somebody else is running around all over collecting funds for that. This is not self-sufficiency. So, idea of self-sufficiency was this, to create this environment where there is this freedom from the fear of future life. The principles are very noble, but putting into practice has become the most difficult thing. And that's where everybody failed. Everyone failed in that. It hasn't happened anywhere. I can give you so many examples. What happened in New Vrindavan? What happened in Gita Nagari? And what happened in so many other places? Everywhere it's the same problem. It's the same problem that has happened. And now we have realized that there is a possibility of, because people knowing the market, isn't it? They're supplying the money and bring them into it, rope them into it. We're showing them the principle of how self-sufficient we are. And it's a joke. The whole thing is a joke. The self-sufficiency, what we are talking about. And it's absolutely frightening that how things can get shifted in that direction. Anyway, so Shreyanso Dharma Vigunan, Krishna says, because of this, Sodharmam should be followed. Sodharma means according to the vasanas, whatever dharmam one should follow. So that dharmam gets disturbed when it is not executed properly. So if it is done like that, what is the benefit? All the energy in a person can be utilized in a very subtle level. Why we have all become so gross? Because of this only. Because of this problem only that we have become so gross. Why? The anxiety about living in this world, the anxiety about the future, and because none of the good qualities entered inside at the right time when it should have happened, we have become, because of this fear of material existence, became so strong in us that all our energy is gone in that direction. And therefore, in a sushma talam, in the subtle level, in a very subtle level, when we have to understand things, it's not going in. It's not going in because of that. That is what Krishna is saying here, that if you follow the Swadharmam, it is a big blessing. It's a big blessing. Though on the other hand, if it is on Paradharmam, which is not your dharma, Krishna calls Swadharmam Paradharmam based on one's vasanas and one's tradition in which one was born. If one takes goes in that direction, he won't have any anxiety about the future. If it happens like that, if you go into Paradharmam, you have to learn everything, you have to know many new things, and therefore Ragadvesham will come there. That is also another side effect of that. Ragadvesham, byproduct of this following Paradharmam. So we have to know why Swadharmam is better than Paradharmam. When Krishna says here, Paradharmo Bhayavaha, he says there, isn't it? So his point is, Krishna's point is, that when you go into Paradharmam, leaving Swadharmam behind, when you execute Paradharmam, all these things can happen. And that is what's exactly what is happening now, if we look into the society. Instead of, even in this country, traditionally, before this industrial revolution and it all started, even the Western world, the system was like that. That they followed father to son, the tradition. They lived in that simple way, and competition and didn't exist at that time. Because of the advancement of the technology industry, and people started thinking there's a quick way to make money and enjoy life, and all these ideas came forth, and therefore everything got disturbed. And we are actually paying for it now. Our children and grandchildren, they will have to go through this. There is no freedom for them. That so much fear, how will I live in this world? And that is come to them at the age of 15 and 16 in their mind. It is very damaging to them, because then there is no possibility of knowing anything, higher knowledge on a subtle level, what Krishna is talking about. So these are all the problems that is coming from following Paradharmam. Shrayan Swadharmo Vigunal Paradharmal Sunushtidal. Krishna says there, isn't it? Even if one executing one's own Swadharmam, Krishna says if there is some defects in that, doesn't matter. It's not a serious thing. But if you do Paradharmam and create chaos in this world, it is much more damaging. Paradharmo Bhayavaha. It is frightening, Krishna says there. So, it is at that time, so all the energy is available to understand things in a subtle level. So, so in the karma mandalam, in the phase of karmam, in this material life, this Swadharmam has got this benefit. If you are following your own Swadharmam, this benefit is there, that you don't have the tension. You don't have the tension. If you look back, I don't know here so much, but traditionally, in the villages and all that, it was taken for granted that family will always do the farming. They will not do anything else. And from an early age itself, the children will go with the parents to the field early in the morning. And the whole life pattern is set up in that way, that they will continue to be doing farming forever. Now that's also gone. There's nobody wants to do farmer's job. Farmer's sons are saying that I want to join the railways or any other industry, because he is thinking that he is only working from 9 to 5, whereas I have to go early in the morning. All mind is completely distorted, and he gets paid salary, whereas in the farming depends on the rain, depends on the produce, and then you have to sell it, and then there is no security. He's feeling more security in this thing called a job. and he leaves the whole farming business. And one or two generations, I can tell you, third generation lost it. Yeah. They don't know how to do farming after that. Then what's the next thing? Hundreds of acres of land, what they had, they have to sell because they don't want to do farming anymore. The sons have gone away looking for a job elsewhere, so there is no more agriculture. Finished there. And the government is also saying, why spend so much energy on agriculture when we can buy food from some other country? Globalization. From Australia you import the wheat, or from Canada. And then why tell the farmers? And the farmers go and commit suicide at the end. So many farmers committed suicide in the last few years. In India particularly, I can tell you, it's news after news all the time. And nobody cares. No one bothers. Because you can... Why? This is why Krishna says, Paradharmo Bhayavaha. What will happen from Paradharma? When we break the law, what Krishna has established, and which was always prevalent all over the world, with the advancement of this modern so-called advancement, what we have created ourselves, like a pack of dogs, it has become the society, isn't it? So this is the difficulty. This is why Krishna is saying, Paradharmo Bhayavaha. Don't move away from your dharma, what has been given to you. It has been given to you, what has come to you through your destiny. So having all said that, Arjuna is asking a question. What is the reason that one leaves one is swadharmam and goes to paradharma? One who leaves one's own dharma. So Krishna says here that knowing very well that it is sinful to do some other dharma, what is not one's own dharma, and what is not given to him by destiny, if he does that, what is that causing him to do that? I don't want to do it, but something is causing me to do that. This is the question. All in a very subtle level. Arjuna's questions are also very interesting, because Arjuna wants to take sannyasam now, isn't it? In the battlefield, he wanted to take sannyas and go. So he's saying to Krishna that I don't want to fight, but I want to become a sannyasi, which is paradharma, which is not Arjuna's dharma. So I want to leave this fighting business and take to sannyasam. But why is it happening that I feel like doing that? Why does that happen to me? Like that. So, exactly. Nobody wants to commit mistakes in this world. But still you feel like doing it. Isn't it? So, Duryodhana said like that. There is something inside forcing me to do that. Remember, we talked about it yesterday. Duryodhana admitted that I know that it is wrong, but something in me is forcing me to do that. In that, just like Dhritarashtra also said, isn't it? Krishna spoke to Dhritarashtra so much, and at the end, you know, Krishna had to go there. That's where the universal form was shown, isn't it? Krishna has shown universal form a few times. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there. In one instance, that is when he showed the universal form to Dhritarashtra and others. Dhritarashtra was given special vision to see Krishna's universal form, although he was blind. And when he saw the form, Dhritarashtra felt, I better to be blind myself. I prefer thatness than seeing this form of Krishna. So many others saw Krishna's universal form. That is one instance when Krishna showed universal form to everybody. Then in the Arjuna, Krishna has shown in the battlefield. Then Krishna has shown the universal form to Mother Yashoda in the mouth. The universal form was shown. In the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Krishna has shown universal form. So few different places, instances, Krishna has shown the universal form to them. Similarly, Arjuna's question is like this, that if it is like that, Duryodhana and everybody, we were talking about it, there is something in them that is forcing them to do that, isn't it? Something in them to force them. So look at the subtle side of it. First thing Krishna is telling us, that Shreyan Swadharmo Nigunal Vigunal Paradharmal Sunushtidal Swadharma Nidhanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhayavaha. He says here that Swadharmam is best. It's the best. And Paradharmal, even Paradharmam, if you follow it, do it, it is very dangerous. And Swadharmam executed, even if there are defects, it is still better. Even though there may be faulty than another's duties, it is still better, he says. It is still better. He insists on that. That doing Swadharmam is still better than doing Paradharmam. Even if your Swadharmam, you have some in discharging that, if there is some problems, or otherwise, even though they may be faulty, he says here. Then he says, Swadharma nidhanam shreya paradharma bhayavaha. Performing one duty is better than engaging in another duty. Swadharmam nidhanam shreya, it is shreyas for him. Paradharma bhayavaha. Doing somebody else's dharma is bhayavaha. It is very dangerous, he says. So we have seen why it's dangerous, isn't it? You have understood that, why it is dangerous to do paradharmam. Because of this, that a person's whole life is destroyed if we bring paradharmam into him. Whereas in swadharmam, he feels and lives peacefully, so that at the right age, the right understanding of life will come to him. And he will pick up the good qualities, what is necessary to develop devotion and knowledge and related with the spiritual life. All that goes away when we create this atmosphere of anxiety and tension in a child at an early age about how to live in this world, about the future, about the profession, whatever it is. So when Krishna said all these things, you can understand why paradharmam is bhayavaha, how that frightening that is. So swadharma nidhanam shreya, Krishna said like that. It was then that the Arjuna asked this question. If you look at the purport also, Prabhupada will mention there, both materially or spiritually, one should stick to his prescribed duties even up to death, rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. Duties on the spiritual platform and duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for the performer. When he is under the spell of the modes of material nature, one should follow the prescribed rules for a particular situation and should not imitate others. A Brahmana who is in the mood of goodness is non-violent. Kshatriya in passion is allowed to be violent. Kshatriya is better to be vanquished following the rules of violence than to imitate a Brahmana who follows the principles of non-violence. So, and then in the Shastram, Prabhupada has given that example that a Kshatriya man act as a Brahmana or a Brahmana must act as a Kshatriya. For example, Vishwamitra was originally a Kshatriya, but later on he acted as a Brahmana, whereas Parashuram was a Brahmana, later on he acted as a Kshatriya. So this is an important thing in the Bhagavatam. You'll find that certain instances a Brahmana can act as a Kshatriya and Kshatriya can act as a Brahmana. Like this example of Vishwamitra and Parashuram. It has happened like that. But as long as one is in the material platform, he must perform his duties according to the modes of material nature. That's the most important thing. When one is in the material conscious, material life, in spiritual life that is allowed. Like Brahmana can become a Kshatriya and Kshatriya can become a Brahmana. Only in a spiritual platform. But he says here very specifically, being transcendentally situated, they could do so when they were transcendental. Because both Vishwamitra and Parashuram, they were great sages, isn't it? So such great sages who have a deep understanding of things, they are acting on a transcendental level. They are not acting on a material platform. So when they move from one dharmam to adharmam, it won't do any damage to anybody. It won't cause any harm to anyone. It won't affect anybody. But when one is on the material platform, that all of us, all of the people, he must perform his duties according to the modes of material nature, which means according to the vasanas inside. He should act in this world. At the same time, you must have a full sense of Krishna consciousness. That's obviously understood. So you can see there that the stress Krishna insists on this. Why? Because it is conducive for developing spiritually. For spiritual development, it helps if you live in that way. So it is then that Arjuna asks this question, that how come I feel like taking sannyas still, in spite of all this what you have told me? Because I'm by nature, I'm a Kshatriya warrior, he is, isn't it? So fighter. How come I want to leave that and go to something else? That is a question Arjuna is asking the next verse. If you look. Arjuna vacha. അഥകേന പ്രയുക്തോയം പാപം ചരതി പുരുഷ അനിച്ഛന്നപി വാർഷ്ണേയ ബലാദിവ നിയോജിത. അർജുന ഉവാച, അഥകേന പ്രയുക്തോയം പാപം ചരതി പുരുഷ അനിച്ഛൻ അപി വാർഷ്ണേയ ബലാദിവ നിയോജിത. അർജുന സെയ്ഡ്, ഓ ഡിസെൻഡന്റ് ഓഫ് വൃഷ്ണി, ബൈ വാട്ട് ഈസ് വൺ ഇംപെൽഡ് ടു സിൻഫുൾ ആക്ട്സ് ഓർ ഈവൻ അൺവില്ലിംഗ്ലി as if engaged by force, isn't it? So you can see how come Arjuna's question is this, that whatever you have said, that is correct, that I accept that, but what is then that is causing me or forcing anyone to go away from Swadharmam to Paradharmam? That is what has happened to Arjuna. Arjuna's Swadharmam is Kshatriya, Kshatram, whereas Sannyasam is Brahmanam. It is for the man who has taken to that spiritual position of, that is not his karma. Prescribed duty is not for that, for Arjuna. So what is that forcing me to go from the Kshatriya's responsibility to the Brahmana's life? That's what he is asking there. Athakena prayuktoyam papam charadi purusha anichannabi varshneya baladivan yojida. You can see Arjuna uses the word papam. Papam means sinful. It is sinful to do that. He accepts that. Papam charati purusha. That means switching from one dharmam, one swadharmam to another dharmam is papam. It is sinful. He says that it is sinful. Papam charati purusha. Anichannabi varshneya baladiva niyojita. Even without desiring to do that, he doesn't want to do it, but it is happening. Why? That is the question Arjuna is asking. So from now you will see here that Arjuna's question is like this. Athakena prayuktaya, who is prompting me from within these things? Papam charati purusha. Nobody wants to feel that they are a sinful person in this world, isn't it? They are sinful in this world. And why do they engage in sinful life? Anichanabhi varshneya. And anichanabhi varshneya means even though they don't desire to be sinful, what is prompting them to do that? Baladiva niyojida. What is that power, force, that is coming from inside that forcefully drive them to do it? Where is it coming from? And this question what Arjuna has asked, is asked by everyone in all religions. If you look, all other traditions also, they ask this question, isn't it? Sometimes war happens and people ask the question, why did that war happen? They were all following some religious process, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But in spite of that, they are still asking this question, why did this war happen? Is it not? They ask all the time, First World War happened, Second World War happened. Every time people ask the question, and they were all communities were following religious processes, either Hindu or Christian or Muslim, it doesn't matter. They were following some religious process. And they ask the same question later, why did this war happen, when we followed all the religious processes? So then they say there is Satan, yes. And he is forcing them to do this. They say like that, isn't it? And that Satan, we give them some negative color and we keep on searching for him. Where is that Satan? Isn't Satan? Yes. That Satan is inside. Yeah. Inside every one of us. There is no Satan outside. He's only inside us. Because we do not know the Sat. Sat is the soul, the right thing. And therefore, from there we have created this Satan. Because we don't know the Sat, the Satan has come. So, look at the answer, the beautiful answer Krishna gives for that. Who is forcing us to do that? Look at the answer what Krishna has given. Text 37. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacham.
Kama Yesha Krodha Yesham.
Kama Yesha Krodha Yesham.
Rajoguna Samudbhavam.
Rajoguna Samudbhavam.
Mahashano Mahapapmam.
Mahashano Mahapapmam.
Vidhyenam Iha Vairinam.
Vidhyenam Iha Vairinam.
ശ്രീ ഭഗവാനുവാചം
കാമയേഷ
ക്രോധയേഷാം രജോഗുണസമുദ്ഭവാം മഹാശനോ മഹാപാപ്നാം വിദ്ധ്യേനം ഇഹ വൈരിണം. Translation: The Blessed Lord said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material modes of passion, and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world." Krishna says that Kamayesha Krodayesha Rajoguna Samudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhyenam Ihavairinam. So, this enemy, they are not outside. First thing, that eshaha means he is inside, and he is very close to you, not outside anywhere, and that is what Krishna is saying here, and he is forcing you to do this. Esha kamaha, esha krodaha, both kamam and krodham. There are two people inside, kamam and krodham, isn't it, which is lust and anger. All other things come from that. Kamam krodham means, in a subtle spiritual language, it is ragadvesham. It is ragadvesham, that means attachment and aversion, is in the gross form, you call it as kamam and krodham, lust and anger. Lust is coming from attachment, and anger is coming from aversion. Anger is coming from aversion. When it has not taken its full shape as lust and anger, in a subtle level, it is called attachment and aversion. That's all it is. When we say attachment and aversion is the seed, and the manifested form is kamam and krodham, anger, lust and anger, isn't it? What does it mean? A special attachment to something, that is ragam. And a hate towards something else, that is aversion, isn't it? The pattern of our material body and our chittam, the conscious, the subtle body, is such that it's like this, that we want happiness, we don't want distress. We don't want distress, we want happiness. As much as happiness comes, no complaint from us. As soon as distress comes, immediately we complain and it turns into anger. That is what it is. So, as long as happiness is coming, it is karma. Happiness is coming, we desire like that. This is the way we are created. Our body and the mind is such, we always want happiness. That means karma is inside. We don't want distress, dukkham. That means krodham. It results in krodham, anger. Isn't it? So if you closely observe this phenomenon in all of us, you can see that the mind and the body is always dictating to us only one thing, to become happy. To become happy. We want happiness, we don't want distress. This is where the whole problem has started. So when we talk about raga dvesham, ragam and dvesham, this principle, underlying principle on a subtle level is this, that mind and body is somehow taken this understanding that I want happiness, I don't want distress. Two things. So from these two things, you can see that as soon as you have, as soon as there is happiness coming, that there is no complaint. That is karma. That is karma. When happiness is coming, when we are not complaining about it, nobody complains when happiness is coming, isn't it? That is karma. That shows to us that there is kamam inside. And similarly, when distress is coming, immediately you are complaining about it, is the proof that there is krodham inside. Ragadvesham is there in a person, this is the proof. That you may say that I have no attachment, no aversion, but that's not true. When happiness is coming, the fact that you are accepting it is showing that there is ragam there. When distress is coming, that you are rejecting it, is showing that there is aversion inside. Ragadvesham, kama krodham, and body and the mind, they all is in a very subtle level operating. So not specifically a particular kamam or a kopam, or particularly a special ragam or a dvesham, but generally we have an attachment for sukham, happiness, and we have an aversion for distress. Aversion for distress. Where did this come? Why did this come to us? That is the question. Krishna's question is this. Where did this come from? This Krishna says, Rajoguna Samudbhava. Because it is Rajogunam inside us, this is what has caused this. Attachment to happiness. And it is a very subtle thing. If you have observed certain people, you will see that this Rajogunam is very strong in all of us, but in some people to very high level. Very high level. That is where Brahmanyam, Brahminical culture will prove. If you have understood, seen the proper Brahminical culture, you will notice that always in that peaceful state, when happiness comes, not disturbed. When distress comes also, not disturbed. Why? There is no ragadvesham inside. There is no ragadvesham inside. Whereas, all of us or most of us are like that, isn't it? When some little happiness comes, we want to celebrate it straight away. Isn't it? We want to celebrate it. So you can see all this mentality of, we allow this to manifest also publicly, to openly to everybody else should see how happy we are. So we want immediately a party or the tendency to show it to others, I'm a happy person, very happy I am. So that means there is so much Rajogunam inside. So this mood of accepting happiness and rejecting distress, this mood of accepting happiness and rejecting distress, Krishna is saying there is not a good thing. That is an indication of raga dvesham in a person. And these two things has come. Why did this happen? This is Arjuna's question. Because Rajoguna Samudbhava. It has come from the Rajogunam inside in a person. A person in Sattvagunam will never act like that. Will never be influenced by happiness and distress. Will never be influenced by happiness and distress. A person in Sattvagunam, that is why Krishna says, Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam. In that Sattvagunam only spiritual knowledge will develop. When Rajogunam means what? Rajoguna means karma. Rajoguna means karma. So, and therefore, Krishna gives importance to this for this reason that a person who has a lot of Rajoguna inside, he will have Ragadvesham inside, which means he will have Kamam and Krotham inside. Kamam and Krotham inside. So, whenever we get angry, all you have to blame is the Rajoguna inside. You don't have to blame anybody else. That somehow or the other, the Rajogunam has grown inside so much. We keep asking this question, why I'm getting so angry, isn't it? Sometimes anger comes, everybody gets angry in this world. Sometimes or the other. But anger is coming only because of the Rajogunam inside. I have association with the modes of passion is so much. So Krishna's point is here is that Mahashana Mahapapnam Vidhyena Mihavairinam. Rajoguna Samudbhava. What is the symptom of Rajogunam? What is the symptom of Rajogunam? The symptom of Rajogunam is this. The body and the mind should stay in happy, always in a happy state. That is the symptom of Rajogunam. Body and the mind should always stay in a happy state. And when will this lust and anger will go? Krishna says, it will never go. Mahashana Mahapapnam. Mahashana means one, it is such a big desire for fulfillment that ashana means hunger. It is so hungry, this thing called Rajogunam, it will keep on demanding more and more. It's like food. Sometimes when you're very hungry, how it demands for the food. Similarly, the Rajogunam in a person is demanding so much from inside. It has so much hunger, Krishna says. He uses the word ashanam. Ashanam means hunger. The Mahashana Mahapapnam. And that hunger is also very powerful and sinful as well. Mahapapnam. And it will never be fulfilled. Just like he gives the example that if you keep on pouring the ghee into the fire, how it keeps on burning more and more. It will never extinguish the fire. In the same way, Similarly, kamam and krotham, that means lust and anger, and attachment and aversion, mahapapnam, it will force us to engage in a lot of sinful activities. Sinful activities. That is what it is, that whatever we want to do, whatever we don't want to do, it forces us to do that. It forces us to do that. We don't think about it. We sometimes, superficially, we think of we don't want to do it, but it still forces us to do that. And without thinking, without our knowledge, we'll go and do it. Without our knowledge, we'll go and do it. So this is the answer to Duryodhana's problem and Dhritarashtra's problem. Both were in powerful Rajogunam's influence of Rajogunam. There were only thing Duryodhana didn't know what is causing this. Whereas Arjuna asked this question and Krishna told him that it is that Rajogunam inside in a person who is forcing him to Mahashano Mahapapna Vidyena Mihavairinam, and know that they are your enemies. They are your enemies. And sometimes we do certain things and then we say, oh, I don't know why I did that, isn't it? I should have never done that, but I don't know why I did that. Often it happens to us, isn't it, in life also. And you can reflect yourself and see how many times you have thought like that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done that. Without knowledge, you have done that. Without my knowledge, I have done that. Sometimes you'll say, I got angry, so I didn't know what I was doing, I've done it. You say like that. Sometimes you get angry and broken all the pots in the house, the cooking pots, and beaten the wife or anything like that. And you know, all and after that he says, why I done that? He asked the question, why did I do that? Asked the questioner, but it's too late after doing everything. So the anger doesn't go away like that, isn't it? What you are doing, you don't know. When the lust comes or anger comes, Mahashanam Mahapapna Vidyene Mahavairinam, attachment and aversion, these two things completely cover our Swarupam, the soul. It covers the soul. It's the coverage of the soul. And also it makes us to think, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That is the problem with this. That's why Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, that's another verse Krishna says that Ragadvesham, Rajogunam, all these things, what it does is, it covers the soul in such a way, that it creates this false impression inside that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am the doer and enjoyer. All these things in the Bhagavad Gita is only possible to be understood when we have a little satugunam inside. Otherwise it's difficult. It won't click. You keep saying this to someone who is very absorbed in this world, in his work and job and position and all that, nothing will go into his head. Nothing will go into his head. That's why these things require, these are the subtle sides of life, and that's why Krishna says, you should not spend all your energy and time in caring for the body, so that these subtle qualities will not get in. It will not happen to a man. So he has to be careful that he does not engage all the time in such activities completely centered around the body and bodily maintenance. So therefore you can see where Varnashodharmam is helpful in that way. So it will create this situation of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And it will also make you feel something what is not real as real. As real. And what is that? First feeling is that the existence of this world is real. This is also another false understanding that the world is a real thing. And here I have to hammer like this for maintaining this body. All unwanted knowledge, which are not abhravidya, will happen at that time. And not only that, it will also give birth to the false ego. False ego which wasn't there, it gives birth to that and it grows. And it will cover the soul as well. It will cover the soul. And this vasana inside, the vasanas inside turns into this kamam and krodham, lust and anger. Actually, kamam is krodham. There is no difference. Lust turns into anger. Lust is anger actually. Lust is nothing but anger. So when the lust is not fulfilled, anger comes out. When there is something blocking your lust, something is blocking your lust. So immediately, kopam comes out from there. Kopam or anger comes out from there. Then, so when according to the lust, according to the desire inside, I didn't get it, the reaction is anger. The reaction is anger. And that thing will cover the soul in three different ways. Krishna says that will cover the soul in three different ways. In three different ways. Which one? This kamam and krotham. It will cover the soul in three different ways. In some people, it will be very thick. The coverage will be very thick. In some other people, it will be much lighter. The coverage is much lighter. And in some people, it will be transparent. So, three situations. In some people, it will be transparent. This kama krotham, how it covers the soul, it will be transparent. And some people, it will be a little bit thicker than that. And some people, it will be very heavy. This coverage of the soul by kamam, lust and anger. By lust and anger. So, if it is transparent, then they don't require a lot of sadhana. They don't require a lot of sadhana. If it is transparent, they don't require a lot of sadhana. A little bit of satsangam is sufficient. Little bit of satsangam is sufficient. If it is very little bit stronger than that, then they will have to execute sadhana and they should come to satsangam always. They should come to satsangam always. Japam, tapam, that means chanting the holy name, tapas, austerities, different kinds of anishtanam, pranayamam, everything is necessary for them. If it is a bit strong, thicker than that. And if it is very strong in that person, there will be no possibility of doing anything about them. And they will have no taste for either for sadhana or for satsangam. They will have neither for sadhana nor for satsangam any taste. That is how Krishna sees that. So first he has told, in order to have a peaceful life in this world and not the rajogunam to build up too much in a person, follow this pattern of life of Varnashrama Dharma. He gave us this understanding. He also warned us that if you don't execute Varnashrama Dharma and if you switch your dharma from one to another and create this situation like what we have created today, what will happen is it will damage your existence in this world. In other words, it will create so much tension and fear inside that you will not be able to acquire any of the spiritual qualities, what is required for one to advance on the spiritual path. All the attention will fall on the body and bodily maintenance, and the result of that is that there will be no time to even to be awareness of the soul will not happen inside. Having said all that, Arjuna asked a question that what is that forcing someone to go in that direction in spite of this? What forces one to fall from swadharmam to paradharmam, to somebody else, other's dharmam? What is forcing him to do that? In answer to that, Krishna says that kama yesha, krotha yesha, rajoguna samudbhava. This rajogunam inside in a person is what is causing the problem. Because rajogunam comes out in these two roots, kamam and krotham. And that covers the soul and it also takes away, brings this identity of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer happens to him. And in addition to that, what else will happen to him? He will engage in, he wants happiness and doesn't want distress. All these things have happened because of this powerful rajogunam inside. So I have spoken about all that. Krishna says that covers the soul in such a way, in three different ways, he said. One, some people it is very strong. The coverage is very, very strong. In some others, he says, it's not so thick. And some others, it is transparent. Those who are transparent, whom has transparent this coverage, they don't require a lot of sadhana. Satsangam will do that job for them. Just being in satsangam, they will reflect and they will get over it. But those who have got a little bit thickness in their rajogunam, they require sadhana and they require satsangam as well. And there are the third category for whom it is very, very thick. This coverage of rajogunam is very thick. For them, it is very difficult. That is Krishna's saying. Saying that, you will see the three categories discussed in the three verses next. That's where it is coming. First category, Krishna says. Verse 38. Dhume na vriyade vanyar.
Dhume na vriyade vanyar.
Yathadarsho malena cha.
Yathadarsho malena cha.
Yato ulbena vrido garbhas.
Yato ulbena vrido garbhas.
Tathate nedamavritam.
Tathate nedamavritam.
Dhume na vriyade vanyar.
Dhume na vriyade vanyar.
Yathadarsho malena cha.
Yathadarsho malena cha.
Yatholbhena vrido garbhas. Tathate nedamavritam.
Tathate nedamavritam.
Dhumena vriyade vanyar. Yathadarsho malena cha. Yatho ulbhena vrido garbhas. Tathate nedamavritam. Krishna says, translation, as fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by lust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, similarly, the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. See that three examples. One, fire is covered by smoke. One, mirror is covered by lust. Two, or embryo is covered by the womb. Similarly, the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Different degrees of lust. So, let's look at that. Krishna says there, Dhumena vrede vanyi. Smoke covers the fire, isn't it? Smoke covers the fire. So, in order to get rid of the smoke, what do you have to do? You don't have to fight with the smoke, isn't it? All you have to do is to burn the fire a little bit more strongly. Especially if you see the firewood or coal, you can see that in the beginning when you set fire, there is a smoke, a lot of smoke. But once you make the fire stronger, make it very strong, the firewood is burning very well, then the smoke goes away. So that is that example, first example. So when the fire is burning very well, the smoke will go away. Similarly, one who has got little bit of vasana, not too much, a little bit of vasana one has, then you don't have to be so concerned about that vasanas so much. Let it be like that. Doesn't matter. If you strengthen your knowledge side, if you strengthen your spiritual knowledge, then you keep on moving in that direction. And once that fire of knowledge becomes strong inside, Krishna says later, Sarva karmani basmasal kurude Arjuna. The knowledge will become so powerful. Later on it will come, in another verse. Jnanagni sarva karmanam basmasal kurade Arjuna. The fire of knowledge will burn this little vasanas what is inside. In another instance, Krishna will say while talking about knowledge. That means those who are in that state, what he talked about, that fire is there and there is a little bit of smoke coming. In other words, example is, if you take it, practical level, he has got little bit of vasanas inside. Krishna says, don't bother about that. Little bit of vasana tendency is there. But if you have the knowledge inside, and if you strengthen your knowledge more and more, means constantly engage in the thoughts of the soul and in the realizations, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you absorb in that strongly, that knowledge will get so strengthened, that vasana will go. That vasana will leave you. That is the first instruction from Krishna. And Krishna says that the knowledge itself is fire. It burns so strongly that jnana agni, the fire of knowledge, burns all karma, karma vasanas inside, Bhasmasat makes it into ashes. Kurade Arjuna. Arjuna will create that way. Yanagni Savagarmanam. Bhasmasat Kurade Arjuna. He says there. So it will burn everything into ashes. And if it is only little bit, this vasanas, you don't have to fight with that. There's no need to be too much concerned about that. If the vasanas are not very strong, if it's only very transparent. And if one gives attention to the knowledge at that time, or Atmavijaram, or thoughts about the soul, or Atmadhyanam, all these are words, Brahmavijaram, these are different words for the same thing, or reflection, in other words, Smaranam. And if you keep on giving attention to that, that vasanas will leave you at that point. The second category Krishna says here is Yadadarsho Malenacha. He says there, isn't it? Yadadarsho Malenacha. What does that mean? It means that in a mirror, suppose mirror is completely covered in dust, isn't it? Completely covered in a dust. If a mirror is completely covered in dust, there's a little effort required there. You have to clean the mirror first, isn't it, to see properly. So, if you clean that mirror, you can see yourself very clearly in that mirror, isn't it? You can see yourself very clearly in the mirror. So, what you have to do is to wipe the mirror. You have to wipe the mirror. Therefore, it requires a little bit of chanting the holy name, meditation, and association with devotees or satsangam, and things like that. And it will require effort from your side. These are all, in a subtle level, if you think, they are all correct also. You can understand yourself when you look at it. Then when your vasanas are very weak, there's no strong vasanas inside. Just being situated peacefully at home and reflecting on Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is sufficient to become fixed in spiritual life. But when that is not there, the dust is a little bit thicker inside, it's just like example given here of the mirror and the dust. You have to wipe the dust from the mirror to see yourself very clearly inside. So similarly, Krishna is saying there, in such a person who has got that state, you have to engage in sadhana, you have to engage in sadhana, and you have to sit in satsangam, and a little effort is required. Therefore, abhyasam is necessary. Abhyasena the kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Krishna says later, isn't it? In another sixth chapter, Krishna will say this. Jnanagni sarvakarma. First one, Jnanagni sarvakarmanam basmasal kurade arjuna. Everything will be burnt into ashes with the power of knowledge. Number one. Number two, Krishna says, Abhyasena the kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. That is in the sixth chapter. So, then the third category, what Krishna is talking about, Yadhal benavrudo garbham. Isn't it? Yadhal benavrudo garbham. The third category. So, what does this mean? Ulbham means that skin that covers the womb. While pregnant, the skin that covers the womb. It has covered the womb, and how will it go? Only when the baby is delivered, isn't it? Only when the baby is delivered. You cannot do anything before that. if you see, you cannot, that charmam, charmam means the skin that covers that, ulbam, is that so strong, so you have to wait. There's nothing you can do about it. So, what should the people do who are in that state, when it is so covered, so thick with the coverage of the lust and anger, or rajonam, when it is so thick, all they have to do is they should wait till the baby is delivered. That ulbam is never broken. So similarly, till they are ready for it, they have to wait for that. So there is no point. You should give them any instructions about spiritual life. It will not work. And if you instruct them, these three people will hear in three different ways. If you instruct them, the three kinds of people will hear in three different ways. The instructions are same, but because of their rajogunam inside is in three different degrees, When they hear, they will understand in three different ways. Makes sense, isn't it? That you give them same instruction spoken, three people will understand it in three different ways. Why? Due to the presence of Rajogunam inside. Presence of Rajogunam inside. Ulbam, covering Ulbam. Ulbam means that the nature of such people is that they'll keep on hearing and they will sleep. They keep on hearing and they will sleep. And the second category, they will hear everything. These three categories we spoke about. In the third category, who is very thick, they will hear everything, but they will sleep. The second category, they will hear and they will understand little bit, and a lot of misunderstanding also will be there along with that. And but that can be removed by constant reflection on that, and get the right understanding can happen to them. And the first category, the one we spoke about, those who have, is like a transparent thing. Those people, as much as they keep on hearing, the knowledge will start burning inside. Yanagni. The fire of knowledge will become, that means they'll get more and more clarity very quickly inside, according to their hearing nature, according to the hearing power. They'll keep on, the more they hear, the more the fire will start burning inside. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Again, the three modes of nature, Krishna spoke in another way. That's all it is. The same Sattvam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, to make it more clear to us how the modes of nature works in everybody. So you can see here that the powerful influence of the modes of nature, which is already inside, how that will have its impact on even on our ability to develop in spiritual life also. Even spiritual life is affected by that, these three modes of nature. So just like the when the fire is burning, as much as the smoke goes away, similarly, when the fire is burning, lust and anger will also leave. When the fire burns inside, Jnana Agni, the fire of knowledge. They don't require a lot of sadhana or anushtanam. They don't need that. And as much as, because the knowledge itself is so powerful, and because the Rajogunam is absent in them, very quickly that knowledge will change. The fire will burn so well inside, he said that it will burn all his other vasanas also, and he'll be very peaceful inside. That person will be very peaceful inside the more he is realizing the self from within. He realizes self inside. In all these category of people, you can see in the satsangam also. All these category of people. Similarly, the next verse also is a definition of this. It's a definition of this. If you look into verse 39, you will see that's also a definition of this. Let's look at that. Text 39. Krishna says, Avridam jnanametena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analenacha avridam jnanametena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurana analenacha. Thus, a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So, he says here that avridam jnanam etena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaundeya dushpurena analena cha. Dushpurena analena cha. This kamam or this lust has covered this knowledge. So we are talking about burning the knowledge inside, isn't it? So what does it mean? In the satsangam, what is meant to happen is that the knowledge is already inside a person. Everyone has this spiritual, because soul is inside, isn't it? When the soul is inside, soul's nature is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. So what has happened is, the knowledge is also already inside. And inside us, we have this in our experience that I'm existing, that awareness. And it comes out in that form, isn't it? It comes out in that form, that I'm existing, that awareness comes out. But that is covered. That awareness of the soul is covered at the moment. Just like the sun is covered by the cloud, it is covered. By what? Kama rupena. Krishna says because of this kamam or desires. Kama means desires. Vasana padalam or vasanas inside. That has covered the surupam of the soul. But if you say, Krishna says here, if you think that you can fulfill all these desires and remove them, dushpurena, he says it can never be done. And none of the material desires, you can fulfill them and say you are satisfied with that. It is not possible. What is that desire, Krishna says here? If the desire is only little bit, there is one sadhana which will help to remove that. If the desire is not too much, it's only mere thought. That means, if you are not very persistent about fulfilling that desire, then simply by the reflection, that thoughts will go away from inside. Thoughts will go away. That is a powerful sadhana. This reflection is the most powerful sadhana. Let the desire be there. Don't have to worry about that. I don't want this desire. You have to think it. You don't have to think like that. And if you are not particular that you want to fulfill that desire, and if you have a casual approach, if it happens, let it happen. If it doesn't happen, doesn't matter. If it is like that, that desire will lose its strength. Somehow or the other, if you just break the connection with the desire, that's enough. That you don't have to fulfill the desire, in other words. If you just break the connection with that, then you're not too bothered whether it happens or not. If you keep it like that, Krishna says that it will free you from that. Or if you think that I'll fulfill all the desire and I'll become free from that, that will not happen. Dushpuram, he says. Dushpurena analena cha. Analan means fire. And alam means sufficient. So you can see that word for fire is a special word, analan. Fire's nature is never satisfied. It wants to burn more and more, isn't it? That's the nature of the fire. That's why fire has been given the special name analan. Anala, the word is given to fire because of this quality of fire. Fire never gets satisfied. You keep on feeding, it will burn more and more and more. It demands more. So that's the nature of the fire. So in order that, because of the nature of the fire, he says, Krishna compares with that our desires. Dushpurena analena cha. Never satisfied with the desires. So it will keep burning more and more. More you pour into the fire, it will burn. Fire will never say, I had enough. It will keep on eating that. So, therefore, exactly like the fire, the desires inside also are demanding. You keep on fulfilling them and it will stay remain again. It will remain there. And you ask anybody in this world, anytime when they were satisfied with their desires, even if you ask billionaires who have got so much wealth, they will still be looking at someone else who has got more than him. Isn't it? If you look at it, that's the way it is. When you see this list of the Fortune 500 or whatever they put the list in, the lower ones will be thinking about the higher ones. They will be looking from those who don't bother about all others. Billionaires won't be looking at the millionaires. Millionaires is not their competition. Their competition is among the billionaires who has got more than them. That's the list will be in their mind. the millionaires won't be in their heart at all. Millionaires is not important for them. And similarly, millionaires will be looking at all the billionaires, isn't it? When I will get there. And they won't think about all the few hundred thousand pounds what we have got in this world. They won't be worried about that. This is the common nature of this world. So Krishna is saying here that same thing with all other things. People who are little bit famous, they will be thinking about others who are very famous. Isn't it? Very famous. So in the same way, in this world, and in this world, first thing is that those who are in the front bench, those who are in the front bench, the who are sitting in the back bench, they have to see their back. That's all. You cannot do anything about it. That's the way the world is, isn't it? That's the way the world is. So, the more you go, unless you are in the front bench, still you will see something in the front. So that's the way. Dushpurena analena cha. That is the word Krishna has used here. It says here that this desire is such, and this desire is such, and at no point in time you can say you are totally satisfied with anything. So don't try to fulfill the desire and think that you can free yourself from that desire. That will not happen. So if you know that, Krishna says that you will not try to do that. Whereas if there is some knowledge inside, and if there is not a lot of desire inside, he says the knowledge will take care. Eventually the knowledge will burn everything at the end, and there will be no more desires after that. So in three places they are present. In three places. They are present in a person, and they are hiding there. In a person they are hiding there, and they are present in three places. And if you want to attack your enemy, you have to know where they are hiding. Isn't it? Where they are hiding. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse.
Indriyani mano buddhir. Asyadhishtana muchyate. Eter vimohayatyesham. Jnanamavritya dehinam. Indriyani mano buddhir. Asyadhishtana muchyate. Eter vimohayatyesham. Jnanam avritya dehinam. Indriyani mano buddhir. Asya adhishtanam uchyate. Eteir vimohayatyesha jnanam avritya dehinam. Translation: the senses, the mind and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So, let's look at that. Krishna says, three places. Krishna says, this is there. The senses, the mind and the intelligence, they are hiding there. In these three places, they are hiding. Mind, intelligence and the senses. What is hiding in the intelligence, if you don't tackle it there, then you will not be able to tackle them in the mind and the senses. First thing where you have to tackle that is in the intelligence. They're hiding in three places, but it's in the intelligence that you have to tackle first. What is intelligence in basic understanding? It is in the ajnana rupam, in the form of ignorance. It's present there in the intelligence. And that is how the mind and the senses become degraded. If this ignorance or this ajnanam of rajogunam is in the intelligence, that will spoil the mind and the senses as well. So Krishna says that first accept that in the intelligence. In intelligence you should purify that in the intelligence state. For example, this understanding that all the things in this world is most important. That is the first in ignorance in that level. Rajogunam's first nature. Everything in this world is very important. And there is happiness in so many things in this world. All this understanding. Krishna says here, then, for example, father, mother, they are also, they are very, they love their children. That's all there. And, but, for children who wants to come to spiritual life, there is no more powerful enemies than their father and mother and the relatives. They are their most powerful enemies for them. They want to come to spiritual life, but their greatest enemies, although their father and mother has love for the children and also the relatives, they have the love for the children, their main enemy is this father, mother and the relatives in spiritual life. This is where the correction required the intelligence. Our intelligence, we have already polluted in that way. Children, when they take to spiritual life, everybody gets worried. Isn't it? Everyone gets worried about that. So, they are also in the same ignorant state. In the same ignorant state. The parents also. And they are also feeding this ignorance into the children's heart. Into the children's heart. So, you will see, sometimes, this is quite often it happens, people go to the old people, very, very old people. The parents train their children, oh, pay your respects to them, touch their feet, pay your respects to them, and everything. So, the children go and touches the feet of the grandma or granny or granddad or somebody. He's very old, say 85, 90 years old, and 4 or 5 years old child. And their parents who are in their 30s or 40s, they bring them to see their the grandparents and tell the grandchildren, you pay your respects to the granddad or granny. So they'll pay their granddad or granny respects. And that, have you ever seen any granddad or any granny telling this grandchild develop enough devotion or enough knowledge inside? No. What he will bless them is, make enough money in this world and live very happily in this life. With that granny granddad business is over. It's finished. There's nothing comes out of that, isn't it? So this is how the world is. We don't see these things. We think that we have done our duty, made the children to pay their respects to the granddad and granny. Granddad and granny, ignorance is already there in their head, so deeply in their intelligence, and they are blessing this child like this. You study very well, work hard, get into a very high position in this world and make a lot of money and enjoy your life. This is the blessing the granddad and granny has given to the children. It's always, you see, often this happening. This happens very often. And then all you can do is to, all right, it's over now. Let it get finished and done with it. So, they'll tell them to pay their obeisances. Now, the child who is paying the obeisances is forced to do it, isn't he? He doesn't understand what he's doing it for, and this is the blessing he's getting from that. So, so they will tell them, with that, so making money, a lot of money in this world, that's the goal. So he has fallen into that trap straight away. The child has been given it's coming from the highest authority, granddad. So if granddad is saying he has lived in this life and he has told, so that means must be correct, isn't it? Child has fallen into that trap. So this whole society structure is like that. Society structure is like that. So, so every time, what do? We allow the senses and sense objects and happiness in sense objects. That's the only thing we are letting in inside all the time, isn't it? So many objects in this world we find happiness, and so many different things. Eating that is happiness. And you can see this in Diwali times and all that. That whole day and night cooking in the kitchen, making things for that. And you're not able to eat everything. And when you bring it over, you're not able to eat it, all of that. Why? Krishna says there, Indriyasyarthe ragadvesha vivasthito. What can you do? And as soon as it is brought inside, you want to eat it. But because, why is that? Indriyasyarthe ragadvesha vivasthito. We have seen that, isn't it? Before, if you remember, that verse that verse was that?
34.
34, yeah. Indriyasyarthe ragadvesha vivasthito. Krishna says that. Yeah. Tayor na vasham agacher tauhyasya paribandhinau. So, what can be done? I am sitting there and all these sweets are brought inside, and because the senses goes into sense objects straight away, that that immediately you can see that we have diabetes and still all the sweets is made. And those who are visiting us also have got the same problem. And if you ask them this question, and when you were alone, when you had good hunger, the point is this, that if you have making your own food and eating it what is necessary, then these problems won't happen so much. But when it becomes a social environment, when it becomes very much into that mood, when you get into that, then all these situations develop from that. That. Normally for our living in this world, we don't require such elaborate feasts, isn't it? Such a feast is not required. A little bit of rice or chapati, some vegetables, some yogurt is more than enough to maintain this body. But when we make it as a big festival all the time, so much energy is wasted in that direction as well. So Krishna is saying here, these are the type of ignorance in the intelligence. You see, these things will not be noticed very easily. We take it as, oh, it's a natural thing. Diwali has come. We have to make a lot of sweets. Visitors will be coming. Even they don't want it. They've got diabetes. We'll still have one. It's not going to happen. And make that person somehow encourage them to have it. Yeah. And like this, in so many ways, this ignorance is in the intelligence. This is ignorance in the intelligence. It's not anywhere else. Krishna is saying, that is what Krishna is saying here, that if you want to correct this rajogunam in a person, correction has to happen in the intelligence first. What is intelligence? Intelligence is nischayatmiya buddhi. Intelligence has taken a decision that this is the right thing. Isn't it? That's what intelligence does. Nischayatmiya buddhi. So intelligence has taken a decision that something is correct. Already it is decided inside. And there correction is required, Krishna is saying. There's no point in correcting in the mind or senses. In the intelligence that correction is required. That these things are not necessary. Because they will take my time away. If I spend all my time in cooking all the time, and eating is the only business in life, then that means that there is some rajogunam inside strongly in me. That is what is prompting me to do that. Cooking for the sake of surviving in this world is not a wrong thing. Body has to be maintained. The idea is to come out of this bodily concept of life. Isn't it? Eating means what? Increasing the bodily concept of life. Even eating has to be made in such a way that you can get out of the bodily concept of life. It should be done in that way. That's why we say take it as prasadam. That does not mean that every day what we are eating should be elaborate feast. That's not the goal behind it, because then it becomes sense gratification. Now that's what's happening in occasionally. Often it happens that because we are devotees, we need feast all the time. Ordinary two chapatis and sabji is not sufficient. It has to be a feast. And so hundreds of people have to go to kitchen cooking the feast for hundreds of thousands of people. And whole, when you walk in, the whole atmosphere is like a hotel atmosphere. So eating is the only business goes on there. There's no other talk about anything else. No talk about Bhagavad Gita, no talk about Bhagavatam. Whole business is how to get the water, how to get the cooking going. Cooking is the biggest activity in spiritual life. Well, friend, I don't know how this is developed in this way. That Prabhupada said, you have to take prasadam. Prasadam is necessary. But if prasadam eating is the only business, then what can you say about that? So this is where correction is required. That intelligence has gone in a wrong direction. And that's where Krishna is saying correction is required. That is coming from rajogunam. That misunderstanding has come from rajogunam. So you can see here that this ajnanam we keep on feeding to the children also. That most of the parents are telling the children, even devotees I am saying, If you can't do anything, at least eat prasadam, he says. So the child is thinking, eating prasadam is spiritual life, nothing else. You should be telling like that to him. You should be saying to the children, look, this spiritual knowledge is more important than anything else. Prasadam is only a part of that. That you should be very strict about that, not eat anything. Eating a lot of prasadam and becoming strong and fat is not the goal. That's not the goal. That is only Krishna. Prabhupada, one point, he said like this. He was so frustrated about it. He said like this, that you are like animals, he said. You want to keep on eating 24 hours. So since you can't understand anything what is written in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, eat it. He says, eat as much as you like. He was so frustrated at one point, he said like that. Just eat as much as you want, he said. At least you will eat and then the stomach will start working as a brain, he said. What else can you say? If eating is given so much importance, rather, people should be discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, not eating as the whole purpose of the life and thinking that we are all making spiritual progress all the time. How will that happen? It will never happen. So that is the ignorance or the ajnanam in the intelligence. It has gone in the intelligence where correction is required. These are different kinds of intelligence, different kinds of ignorance in the intelligence. First we spoke about this parents showing affection to the children. But when the children take spiritual life seriously, parents go against it. They don't want that. They're feeling that, what will he do if he takes to spiritual life? It'll probably, he may know how will he manage in this life, and all kinds of ignorance thoughts comes there. So again, that is an ignorant understanding. If a child takes to spiritual life very seriously, the father should feel very happy about it, that he has become, at least someone has got the, he's got the intelligence in the early life itself to think in the right direction, rather than it late in the life. And so Krishna says here that the intelligence has to be connected buddhi, ajnanam in the buddhi. Ajnanam, ignorance in the intelligence. So sometimes it happens like that. You will say that it has to be like this, it has to be like that. That persistence on that. So somebody who earns a low wages in this world and somebody in the next door is making a lot of money and they are buying very expensive clothes, expensive car and so many other things. So the wife is saying to the husband, look, next door what they've got. And they've got this, they've got that, and we don't have anything. Immediately, it develops into problems, isn't it? What can the husband do? That is, again, ignorance in the intelligence. Ignorance in the intelligence. And where is the root cause of all this ignorance is coming from? Ignorance is like this. Somebody is wearing very good clothes. Somebody is wearing very good clothes. And we are watching that. And what has happened? Beautiful. When somebody is very beautiful, whatever clothes they wear, they look beautiful. But an ugly person, just talking on a material level, even if he wears good clothes, he's not going to become beautiful by that. These are all ignorance in us, isn't it? Only due to ignorance we think like that. Oh, if I wear some nice clothes, I'll look beautiful. And a beautiful person is thinking that even if I'm not wearing good clothes, I'm still looking beautiful. All these misunderstanding inside. These are all the type of ignorance in the intelligence. What happens? And whatever it may be, whether you are beautiful or you're not beautiful, what does it matter at the end? This is the question. Krishna's question is all these things to us. Because these are all the misconceptions in our intelligence, isn't it? All these are in the general life, I'm saying. That whatever way it goes, what does it matter? Somehow or the other, Rajoguna Samudbhava. Rajoguna Samudbhava. This is all the symptoms of a Rajogunam in a person. Symptoms of a Rajogunam in a person. Vinoba Bhave, there was a great leader who was involved in the Bhudanam. That means he used to, he was with Mahatma Gandhi for a long time. And then afterwards, he lived for quite many years after that. He was very particular about collecting the land from the rich people and distributing to the poor people. He started a movement like that. He died, he's no more. What he used to say was like this. Tradition, religion, and in the name of tradition, religion and all that, people will go to the bottom of the sea and bring some garbage from there. And they will call it as pearls. This garbage they have collected from the bottom. And then they will go and dig the ground, and from there they will bring another garbage called gold. And what they will do, they will melt it and make holes through it, and they will hang it up in all different places in the body, and they will say, I'm looking very beautiful. So these are all the ignorance what Krishna is saying, that this is society. Society does all these things, isn't it? In the name of making ourselves beautiful. Vinoba Bhave gives the example, going down the sea to get these pearls from there and bring it up and then do various things with that to make ourselves attractive with that. Similarly with the gold also, buy jewelry. Jewelry like anything. Amount of jewelry and gold that's sold and purchased is unbelievable. So many people are under terrible pressure because of this gold business. And surprisingly, what they have done, the jewelers, so many funny things the jewelers also engaged in doing all that. The big jewelries I'm talking about in India, I've seen this. They have picked up certain religious holidays like Akshaya Tritiya. They say that it is a day for shopping gold. They created a feeling among the public like that. And the big jewelers who are doing crores and crores of rupees worth of business, they advertise in such a way that on that particular day, Akshaya Tritiya, which just recently finished, Akshaya Tritiya day, everybody feels that they have to shop for the gold. Or through publicity and advertisement, they create this inside this feeling. So same thing here. After doing all these things, in the name of this thing called gold, they kill each other, fight each other, and there is so much dacoits and the thieving going on, and police is busy with that, and all kinds of after effects from that. This is all the jnanam in the intelligence. This is all the ignorance in the intelligence. That if I wear something, I become more beautiful. And this is our consciousness. So, this is a report I read in the paper. I don't know how true it is. It says in China that if their feet are a bit bigger, they are not beautiful. And there's some false impression like that in them. And many times, women run away from home because of this feeling among the public that it is like that. And they consider that smaller feet is more beautiful. It's another ignorance in that. And so, ajnanam is in buddhi, in intelligence everywhere. And if you look in the natural way in this world, if you look at the birds or animals or anybody like that, they don't wear all these things, isn't it? All the ears, on the neck, on the hands, everything. They don't have any ornaments. They are living in this world, are they not? Only this ignorance is in the human society. Only this ignorance is in the... This ignorance only in the human society. And we will not be beautiful like them, like the peacock. Peacock doesn't wear any ornaments. Peacock is beautiful on its own way. In its own way, it's beautiful. But we are not going to become like that by putting this the gold chain or gold bangles or anything, or even the lipstick. And they don't do any of these things. They don't insist that they have to spend so much money to buying all these clothes. Nobody says like that. So many kinds of things like that. That they are thinking that those who are wearing and dressing all this, that everybody is looking at them all the time. All the time. And people have got so many other things to do in this world instead of looking at others' beauty. But we are thinking like that, that everybody is looking at me when I'm dressed very well. And for that, they are willing to spend so much time in front of the mirror and to dress up. But only thing is, in life, we have to live in a simple way, but at the same time, it should not upset others in a clean way. You should dress, that's all. But instead, if it becomes a matter of pride and ego, then it is troublesome. And this is coming from the ignorance in the intelligence. So, whatever that is, that simple standard in this life, if we follow that, that is sufficient. But if it becomes simply a fulfillment of desires, then it is troublesome. So, ajnanam. Ajnanam means this ignorance in the intelligence. Up to a very small limit, you have to accept that. That will be there because we are living in a society. But it should be left at that. It should not allow that to grow too much within. Too much within. For example, moderately you have to dress in this world so that you don't get too much criticized for that. For that you have to dress. But more than that, it becomes you have to become very fashionable, you have to keep up with the fashion in the world, and you have to keep up with the others. Then it becomes, that is ajnanam inside, in the ignorance inside. So eating habits and similarly dressing habits, in all these things, this ajnanam is inside us. This ajnanam is inside us. So up to a limit you have to recognize for sake of vyavaharam, for dealing with this world. And if you use the things for that purpose, it's not so bad. Rajoguna samulbhava. All desires are coming from Rajoguna. That's the point Krishna is making here. And these three things stand in the mind, intelligence and the senses. In intelligence, it stands in the form of ignorance. In the form of ignorance. And the result of that, it will activate the senses in that way. It will activate the senses in that way. In the mind, it will develop in the form of sankalpa. Imaginations will develop inside, in the mind. How will that imagination will be? It will be very nice to have this. It will be very nice to have that. In that way, it will develop. And we will discuss it tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.